This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A trade ceasefire for the U.S. and Europe? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. EU officials met with President Trump at the White House yesterday. The outcome, an agreement to work together on a big, long list of trade issues. Both sides said that they want to remove all tariffs, other barriers to trade, and some subsidies. And most importantly, no new tariffs for now. No further escalation of trade tensions. Joining us to discuss yesterday's meeting and trade policy more broadly is Senator Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania. Morning, Senator.
Good morning, Tracy.
So, Senator, you've been critical of President Trump's trade policy. Are you feeling any better after yesterday's talks?
Well, it'd be hard to feel worse after yesterday's talks. One of my several concerns about the administration's trade policy has been lack of clarity about the goal. You know, what are we actually trying to accomplish with Canada and Mexico? Here, we had yesterday a very clear discussion about a goal. Zero tariffs and an end to non-tariff barriers, at least with respect to non-automobile manufactured goods. That's a very big category, and it's a very big ambition. There is a mutual agreement that no additional tariffs will be imposed as long as these negotiations proceed. It's only less than 24 hours ago, and it's quite new, and it's going to be difficult to achieve this, but it certainly strikes me as a movement in the right direction.
There have been some efforts by Republicans in Congress, you included, to put the power to levy tariffs back with Congress to limit the president's ability in that area. Are you going to continue down that path?
I am. As a general matter, Congress has ceded way too much constitutional authority to the executive branch, really across the board, but probably nowhere more so than in the trade space. And this goes back decades. This is not a recent phenomenon. But it's gotten to the point where a president can, in complete compliance with the law, invoke national security and slap tariffs on our closest allies and friends, and Congress is a helpless bystander. That's ridiculous. And it's inconsistent with our constitutional responsibilities to set tariffs and to manage commercial relations with foreign nations. So, yes, it's my intention. I can't promise you exactly when or on what legislative vehicle, but this really should be a congressional responsibility, and I want to work to restore that.
You know, the president said all along that these tariffs are a tool to help rebalance trade in the U.S.'s favor. Is that working? Does that make sense?
Well, look, if we end up with a trade agreement where we have zero tariffs and zero non-tariff barriers between ourselves and a large trading partner where there are significant tariffs today, then I'm going to have to take my hat off and say that's a great outcome. So with the announcement from the European Union yesterday, that's what's encouraging about it, right? It's the right goal. But with the case of NAFTA, for instance, that's not the goal. And the specific policy changes that the administration is seeking would make the deal a worse deal, not a better deal. So I understand the idea of using leverage to enhance a negotiating position, but I can't support it if it's working towards the wrong goal.
All right, I think we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Senator.
All right, thanks for having me.
Senator Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania. Tomorrow morning, we'll find out how fast the economy grew in the second quarter. And expectations are that it grew fast, perhaps in the 4% range. But there's one sector of the economy that's not looking so good, according to Diane Swonk. She's chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Diane, what's up with housing?
Housing has been a bit of a laggard lately. What we've seen is home sales are actually tracking below a year ago. What had been a very robust environment, demand outpacing supply in the housing market, is now being described as demand is mixed or modest. That's a fundamental shift, and we watch it carefully because the housing market tends to be one of the first sectors in the U.S. economy to peak, sometimes years ahead of the overall economy in terms of recession, but it is a lead indicator.
And this morning, the Commerce Department told us that orders of durable goods, basically stuff meant to last 3 years or more, rose slightly after declining for the previous 2 months. What do you make of that?
What's important is what's driving those gains, and some of it was driven by increases in vehicle imports and parts, and that was the vehicle makers actually told us in June that they were hedging against the possibility of tariffs, and so they were bringing in more parts and vehicles from abroad and parking it wherever they could so that those could be used in the case that we actually went to a full-blown trade war and saw 25% tariffs on vehicles and parts going forward.
Okay, Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Grant Thornton. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to NAFTA. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is scheduled to meet today with Mexico's economy minister. They're trying to restart NAFTA negotiations after a lull during the recent Mexican elections, and the countries are sounding optimistic. But where do talks stand? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
The NAFTA negotiations have hit a few snags. U.S. insistence that NAFTA expire every 5 years unless it's reauthorized, disagreements about how much North American content has to be in cars, and how to resolve disputes within the trading bloc.
They are trying to thread the needle on all three of those issues, and so it's definitely an uphill battle.
That's Henrietta Trays with Veda Partners. She says Mexico could agree to one U.S. demand to raise auto workers' wages to keep U.S. car makers from moving there. Brian Riley is with the National Taxpayers Union. He says the U.S. is trying to divide and conquer.
Well, the recent strategy has been to try and get a deal with Mexico and tell Canada this is a deal, sign on to it.
Mexican officials say they'd like a preliminary NAFTA agreement in place before Mexico's new president takes office December 1st. But Riley says we won't see real progress until next year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.